whether there is anything in the stories they tell us of that kind more than the product of vapors, sick minds, and wandering fancies. But this I know, that my imagination worked up to such a height and brought me into such excess of vapors, or what else I may call it, that I actually supposed myself often upon the spot at my old castle behind the trees, saw my old Spaniard, Friday's father, and the reprobate sailors I left upon the island. Nay, I fancied I talked with them and looked at them steadily, though I was broad awake, as at persons just before me. And this I did till I often frightened myself with the images my fancy represented to me. One time, in my sleep, I had the villainy of the three pirate sailors so lively related to me by the first Spaniard and Friday's father that it was surprising. They told me how they barbarously attempted to murder all the Spaniards, and that they set fire to the provisions they had laid up, on purpose, to distress and starve them. Things that I had never heard of, and that, indeed, were never all of them true in fact. But it was so warm in my imagination, and so realized to me, that to the hour I saw them, I could not be persuaded but that it was, or would be true. Also, how I resented it, when the Spaniard complained to me, and how I brought them to justice, tried them, and ordered them all three to be hanged. What there was really in this shall be seen in its place, for however I came to form such things in my dream, and what secret converse of spirits injected it, yet there was, I say, much of it true. I own that this dream had nothing in it literally and specifically true, but the general part was so true. The base, villainous behavior of these three hardened rogues was such, and had been so much worse than I can describe, that the dream had too much similitude of the fact. And, as I would afterwards have punished them severely, so, if I had hanged them all, I had been much in the right, and even should have been justified both by the laws of God and man. But to return to my story, in this kind of temper I lived some years. I had no enjoyment of my life, no pleasant hours, no agreeable diversion, but what had something or other of this in it, so that my wife, who saw my mind wholly bent upon it, told me very seriously one night that she believed there was some secret, powerful impulse of providence upon me, which had determined me to go thither again, and that she found nothing hindered me going but my being engaged to a wife and children. She told me that it was true she could not think of parting with me. But as she was assured that if she was dead, it would be the first thing I would do. So, as it seemed to her that the thing was determined above, she would not be the only obstruction. For if I thought fit and resolved to go, here she found me very intent upon her words, and that I looked very earnestly at her, so that it a little disordered her, and she stopped. I asked her why she did not go on and say out what she was going to say, but I perceived that her heart was too full, and some tears stood in her eyes. "Speak out, my dear," said I. "Are you willing I should go?" "No," says she, very affectionately, "I am far from willing. But if you are resolved to go," says she, "rather than I would be the only hindrance, I will go with you. For though I think it a most preposterous thing for one of your years, and in your condition, yet, if it must be," said she, again weeping, "I would not leave you. For if it be of heaven, you must do it. There is no resisting it. And if heaven make it your duty to go, he will also make it mine to go with you, or otherwise dispose of me, that I may not obstruct it." This affectionate behavior of my wife's brought me a little out of the vapors, and I began to consider what I was doing. I corrected my wandering fancy and began to argue with myself sedately what business I had, after 80 years and after such a life of tedious sufferings and disasters, and closed in so happy and easy a manner. I say, what business had I to rush into new hazards and put myself upon adventures fit only for youth and poverty to run into? With those thoughts, I considered my new engagement, that I had a wife, one child born, and my wife then great with child of another, that I had all the world could give me, and had no need to seek hazard for gain, that I was declining in years, and